It is 9:02 on Wednesday, June 12th, and you are tuned to WPRB, Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM, or online around the world at www.wprb.com. You are listening to Classical Discoveries, and today I am excited to be welcoming Lithuanian composer Žibuoklė Martinaitytė. Welcome again. It's great to have you here. And you currently live in New York, and you've also lived in California, correct?
Yes.
When did you move to the States?
I came to the States in 2006. That's when I came to San Francisco.
Okay, so you've been here for a while. Let's just talk a little bit about the support of new music in Lithuania. Are many people interested in it? Do they have concerts? How is it on radio? Share with us a little bit about how this music gets out there.
Yeah, in Lithuania, let's say this type of music, which is contemporary classical music, is supported by a cultural ministry, so supported by a government. And it's been played in large concert halls, like in the philharmonies or other venues, and people are really aware of what's happening in that world. And let's say when we have premieres of our pieces, they're being broadcast on our national radio, and everyone in the country can hear it in their homes.
So it is, there is support, and the climate is pretty positive in general.
Yes, and then also, you know, people take interest, and also the press takes interest. So if you have a bigger premiere, your name and your picture might appear in the largest newspaper, or you could get TV interview, you could get radio interviews. So I guess it's more... it's more in the mass consciousness than here, because here is kind of this small group of people who are the community of people who are interested in this music, and larger population, they have no idea what this music is.
Let's talk now that we're talking about exposure. Let's just take a moment to discuss radio in Lithuania.
Well, as I said, it's the radio that I'm mostly familiar with is our Lithuanian national radio. Mm-hmm. What they do, they started playing less and less of contemporary music,
really?
As I must say. Yeah, in a recent decade or so, because previously they had more shows dedicated to it. Now, also they went to this more popular mass culture. That's the trend. I mean, it's still much better than here, but because I know the context from before, and it's lessened, the interest, I would say.
Is it more standard repertoire?
Yeah, more standard repertoire and bigger names and so on. But still, Lithuanian National Radio, they record premieres of the pieces when they happen. So let's say if the biggest festival, which is Gaida Festival for Contemporary Music, when it happens, every concert is being recorded by Lithuanian National Radio, and then at some point they broadcast the pieces.
I have to tell you, I have to tell you, the Lithuanian Music Center is tremendous. The kind of stuff that they have available, and the website is just so appealing to look at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a wonderful endeavor, and they're doing a great job over there getting this music out.
Yeah, Lithuanian Music Information Center is a part of Composers Union, but also it belongs to this bigger network of music information centers around the world.
They're like 30-some
something like that.
Yeah.
And some countries are more active than others. And I think Lithuanians are pretty active.
because all the CDs
that you've gotten through the years, it was thanks to one of the people who works there, right? Linas Paulauskis, who is not only, you know, dedicated... person for this type of music, but he's like a walking encyclopedia of the music. So if you would have him, you wouldn't at the studio, you wouldn't need books or internet for facts, because he would know everything. Yeah, he has them all. He knows all the pieces. He knows all the years.
Oh,
he's incredible.
He's like an encyclopedia.
Yes, yes.
That is great.
Yes, and if you don't know some piece, you can ask him, and he will always tell you where it is or where to find it or what was the context of that premiere of the piece.
He's very, very aware. Wow,
yeah.
We have to talk more about that.
Yes.
That sounds exciting. Well, let's go now to another one of your works. Actually, it's a special work you wrote to the memory of your father. I am referring to Completely Embraced by the Beauty of Emptiness. Tell us about this piece and our performance. This was actually the first piece of yours that I knew.
This piece has as you said, a special place in my history. And I had this commission from Ergo Ensemble in Canada. Actually, it was commissioned by the composer Barbara Kroll, who ran this ensemble. She's from Toronto. And she didn't know my music or much of my music, but somehow she trusted me with this commission, which which was very exciting. But I didn't know what I will be writing, and then my father passed away, which was a kind of untimely death. He was just 63 years old. And that changed everything for me, because my father was the one who brought me to music, so we had a special relationship with him, and he was always very interested in what I was doing, and he was always inspiration for me for the music, I would say. And so when he died, and that was the first serious death in my family, and although I've been practicing Buddhism for many years, but when it comes to dealing with impermanence on this very private, personal level, then you realize that all the theories and philosophies, they help you, of course, no doubt about that, but you still have to go through the experience. Yeah, it doesn't take away the emotional impact that you have. You can perceive emptiness of all phenomena all you want to, but once you lose someone who you love, then you wonder, where is it? Where is that? That's why the title of the piece, completely embraced by the beauty of emptiness, which is also a quotation of one of the Buddhist texts, actually. But I didn't mention it in my program notes because I didn't want that connotation. I wanted it to be purely about my father, nothing else. And my father's name was Pranas, so it's six letters of his name became six main notes for the piece. So the biggest section of the piece are those six notes.
Wow.
And then most of the rhythms are also consist of six, number six. So, and the piece, it's a short piece. It's like 10 minutes.
Exactly.
It's a short in the context of my music. But and then I was thinking how to put my entire, this enormous grief that I feel, how to manage to put it in 10 minutes. So it was in a very summarized way.
Yeah.
So through those 10 minutes, I go through every stage of grieving, so to say. So the piece has sections, although it goes without interruptions. So I think, if I remember correctly, it's a departure. And then it is... Sorry, it's been a while since I wrote that piece. Emptiness, and then unending variations of longing one, unending variations of longing two, and then finally letting go. And of course, I could have written so many unending variations of longing. It could have been millions, but I had to restrict myself to just
10
two.
Minutes.
Yeah, so therefore, the piece is very compact and... I would say it was very different from all the pieces that I've written previously to this piece, because previously I was experimenting more with the instrumental techniques and making, the music was more aggressive and more kind of to your face and with a lot of intensity and a lot of anxiety. And this piece was, full of sadness or full of some inexpressible feelings, which took a simple form because of the time frame and because of the emotional situation that I was in. Because at that point, when I was feeling what I was feeling, I realized I cannot pretend that I am someone else. I cannot put any mask, whether it's musical or I cannot play anymore. It's just, it is so raw, that emotion was so raw that it felt what it felt like, and I could not do anything with it instead of just write it. So that's what I did. And as I was writing it, I remember thinking how simple it appeared to be on a page of paper. And then I thought, well, it's too simple. There are fifths, so many fifths in the piece, interval of fifths. Yeah. And before that, I never had fifths in my pieces. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how am I going to get away with this?
No, you'll get away. It's a wonderful work. And you know what? Let's hear it now. I'm sure our audience is anxious to hear this.
It's completely embraced by the beauty of emptiness.
By my guest, Jabłokta Martinetyte. We hear the Ergo Ensemble, conducted by Alex Pauk.
Thank you. Thank you.
You were just listening to Completely Embraced by the Beauty of Emptiness by my guest, Jibuokle Martinetite. The work was written in 2006 and just performed by the Ergo Ensemble, conducted by Alex Pauk. Well, welcome back. It's great, Jibuokle, to have you back here.
Thank you, Marvin.
It's wonderful. We're having a tremendous amount of fun. And we're going to hear a selection, or a couple selections, actually, from one of your brand new releases in just a few minutes. However, before we get to that, tell us a little bit about the non-musical inspiration one can find in your music.
Well, many of my pieces have been inspired by things I find in books or visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, the titles of the pieces, and also, yeah, somehow I get inspired even by words. I find words, even in a dictionary, I find a word and description of the word. And
it just like links you to something.
Yes, to something. And now, currently, I've been very inspired by words of languages that I don't know. So, because it provokes my imagination even more so. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. Who were some composers in your that haven't influenced you over the years?
In the early years, I was very taken by music of Ligeti. And also Morton Feldman, although you don't hear it directly in my music, but somehow those composers were really important to me.
Oh, I love Morton Feldman.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, on this program many, many years ago, I played that whole six-hour string
you
quartet.
You have a luxury here.
This is why I love this place.
Yeah.
As we were talking before.
Yeah, because who has 6 hours these days, right?
And the creativity which this station encourages, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why I love coming here at before 5 o'clock every... I love it. But anyway, let's go now to an incredibly beautiful piece of yours, and I'm talking about your composition, In Search of Lost Beauty. This is for violin, cello, piano, and electronics. And this is a recent work which puts one, I have to say, totally into another world. Before we go into the piece specifically, share with us just a bit about when you began using electronics in your music.
The interest with electronics started, I believe, after the year 2000, when I attended summer courses for composers organized by IRCAM, which is an important electronic music organization in Paris, in Europe. But the courses were in Avignon, in southern France, and they were introducing their programs and their software to the composers who were not exposed to it.
Right.
So I was one of those novices, so to say.
But you were taken by it.
I was taken by it, and then I was thinking that I would like to use it more. And then I started trying it out, and I ended up composing for with electronics for, I mean, from time to time. I would say every other year I write a piece which includes electronics. But my use of electronics these days, especially and in this particular piece, is mostly, you know, I use the same sounds that I use live. So I pre-record the same instruments and then blend it with the live performance. And then it sounds very otherworldly because you don't know where the sound is coming from, whether it's live or whether it was pre-recorded.
The link from one into the other.
Yeah, it's like having this dream world connected to your reality and where you don't have a clear border, which is which. So the same with the sound, you know, it's a, let's say recorded sound is like a memory of the sound, right? Mm-hmm. And then live sound is what is happening,
what it is.
But then when they are so much alike and when it's the same timbre, when it's, let's say, piano and then piano on top of it, you don't know which piano. Do you hear a phantom piano? Do you hear a real piano?
Right.
That's what people were noticing after performance of this piece, In Search of Lost Beauty, that it was very, very hard to distinguish when live instruments were playing, because they were playing all the time throughout 70 minutes entire time, but then there were some other sounds that were appearing. And
well, the point is, as I read in one review, or maybe more than one, is that you really don't, the whole work, even though it's in many movements, it's all like one whole experience.
Yes, it was planned as a one immersive experience, which lasts 75 minutes, 74 minutes, something like that. And it has piano trio, as you mentioned, electronics and video, which I composed myself too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so on the radio we can't hear
I
it.
Was gonna say.
And it was also released as a CD, not as DVD, because I think piece stands on its own musically. It doesn't need visuals. Mm-hmm. But for live performances, it might be easier for people to concentrate and to have their attention more engaged
Would you like to just tell us briefly about the work itself?
So the work itself consists of 10 sections, and some of them are very transitional, and some of them are more structurally important. Mm-hmm. So they create this shape of an arc, which is like a big mountain, let's imagine. And there's a climbing from the bottom registers, from the very dark and deep sounds to the more ephemeral and kind of high register sounds, and the whole piece finishes very high up.
Right, right.
So, although I say that it's a like a story without a narrative, so the music it has some kind of a story. It's telling us something, but there's no clear narrative of what it means. Like what, although the sections have titles, like. It's called those most important sections, like blue, ephemeral, longings in perpetual motions, serenity diptychs, shadows of memories, inhabited silences. And then they are interspersed with the preludes, interludes, and postludes, and so on.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so those titles sort of tell us the world we are in. What is it all about? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you probably read the story of this piece, how it came about. It just briefly mentioned, I was in Paris at an artist residency for 3 months there. And very unfortunately, I had an accident which slowed me down quite a bit. So I was moving at a much slower pace, and I was in a very different perception of time. And kind of slower perception of time. And then I thought, well, it's perfect for the music. I would like to try that out. Because in my previous music, I was moving very fast.
Yes,
yeah, it's very with forward motion, with a momentum that is being kept and kept and kept and never ceases.
Right. Well, this is a, like I said, this is music that just puts you into another spectrum, another world.
Yeah, it's kind of in this, it has a specific atmosphere that you enter right away, stay there.
Well, who are our performers? We're going to hear Serenity Diptych and the interlude before. And who are our performers?
So performers are this wonderful ensemble from Lithuania. It's called Fortvio. It's a piano trio with Indrė Baikštytė on piano, Ingrida Rupaitė Petrikienė on violin, and Povilas Jacunskas on cello. Those are incredible, incredible players. And they've played so much contemporary music, and they know all the extended techniques and all the tricks, and they also just gave a stellar performance of this piece and also recording. Well, and the recording came out on a Starkland label in March 2019.
Yes, and any regular listeners to this program know that I aired the whole thing when it first was released.
Yeah, thank you, Marvin.
But we're going to hear two parts now. This is music by my guest, Žibuoklė Martinaitytė.
We heard excerpts from CD In Search of Lost Beauty, and that was Serenity Diptychs and Shadows of Memories, performed by Fort Vio Ensemble, Indrė Baikštytė piano, Ingrida Rupaitė Petrikienė violin, and Povilas Jacunskas cello.
That was absolutely wonderful. Have you ever had a career in radio in Lithuania?
Not yet. Maybe I will one day.
That was absolutely terrific. By the way, the voice you were just hearing was my guest, Žibuoklė Martinaitytė, the very gifted Lithuanian composer who currently lives in New York. And we will be listening to more of her music in just a second, literally.